Imagine earning continuing education credits while doing exactly what you're doing right now. Well, you can. Gable Media has revolutionized the way you earn your continuing education credits with a groundbreaking approach. Forget running around town and scouring the internet for credit-worthy courses. Fulfill your CE requirements effortlessly by listening to engaging podcasts just like the one you're listening to now. Our podcasts are designed to educate, entertain, and inspire, all in a user-friendly environment. But wait, there's more. Architects, Gable Media is also approved as an AIA Continuing Education Services provider. Upon completion, we handle everything, from reporting your hours directly to the AIA to storing your certificates in your personal Gable Media profile for your self-reporting needs. So follow the link in the show notes and start earning your credits in the most innovative and entertaining way possible with Gable Media.
My name is Mark R. LePage, and you are listening to Entree Architect Podcast, where each week I speak with inspiring, passionate people who share their knowledge and expertise all to help you build a better business as a small firm entrepreneur architect. Today I'm speaking with Brian McCartney, CEO of Arcmark, the leader in business coaching, branding, and marketing for architecture firms. Brian brings more than 35 years of experience, including digital initiatives for Calvin Klein, General Motors Europe, and Lipton Foods. Since 2002, he has founded and led six successful creative service firms and helped more than 5,000 architects strengthen and grow their practices. He is the only Business Made Simple, Small Business, Flight School, Story Brand, and Unreasonable Hospitality certified coach serving the architecture industry, and he's on a mission to help 10,000 firm owners by 2030. Brian is also a longtime collaborator and partner at Entree Architect. He serves us as a monthly ArcOS business coach inside the network membership and is the co-creator and lead instructor at Entree Architect Academy, our new business school for architects. He's been a speaker at our live business conferences for small firm architects, and a guest here on the podcast several times, talking about marketing and branding and strategic planning. Search for Brian McCartney and Entree Architect online, and you will find all the work that we've done together to help support small firm architects throughout the world. Brian McCartney, welcome back to Entree Architect Podcast.
Wow, Mark, that's a great introduction. Thanks so much. It's great to be back. Great to be here. Good to see you. Looking forward to our chat today.
Yeah, me too. I am looking forward to it as well. We have done so much together.
Yeah.
That when I was prepping for this, I did a quick, you know, Google search of Arcmark and Brian McCartney and Entree Architect, you know, and there's hundreds of responses of things that we've done together and things that you've done for our community. And so before we get started, thank you for that. I appreciate your dedication to our community.
Thanks for the opportunity. I'm really glad that we've been able to partner in the way we have over the years. It's meant a lot to me to have your support and to be able to have a sounding board to, you know, sometimes validate these ideas and questions that I have. And you've been amazing in that respect. So thank you for that and for your friendship as well.
I agree. You're very welcome. You're very welcome. And this conversation is one of those things. We want to sort of dig through some of the new initiatives that you have over at Arcmark and the things that you're doing and the things that you're going to be releasing to support our community soon. But before that, I want to set some context for anybody who may not know who you are and what you do. Could you provide an abbreviated origin story? If you want Brian's full origin story, go back to one of the other episodes and listen to the full origin story, but sort of give us some context so we can have this conversation.
Yeah, maybe the Cliff Notes version is that I started as a graphic designer way back when, before the internet. It was actually at the dawn of when desktop publishing was becoming more popular, when computers were really starting to be introduced into the design space. And then my career kind of transitioned from print to what used to be called multimedia to then the internet and then now to AI. And I actually got my start with AI, believe it or not, back in 1998, when I was working with Unilever. We partnered with MIT and a very well-known ad agency, Wieden & Kennedy, on a campaign for Calvin Klein. And this AI was used to create kind of like an interactive storyline that people could, you know, you would see the ads on the bus and it would say, you know, email Tia at CK1 and you could email this character and they would respond back with an email that was basically bringing you into a soap opera. And so you would get periodic emails, you could write back and engage in the story. And it was all powered by a very early form of AI. And more recently, I think it was around 2020, 21, when we really started using AI within our firm, primarily for content. You know, we're helping architects create content, creating authority articles and thought leadership content, blogs and podcasts and things like that. And so AI has been very crucial in helping us develop greater capacity and greater ideation, actually, in a kind of a weird way, but has increased a lot of efficiencies within our agency in how we can help not only ourselves, but help our clients to engage better with the audiences that they want to attract. So yeah, you can certainly learn more about us at arcmark.co or just, you know, search for me online. You'll find some podcast episodes that I've been on and things like that.
And being your friend and all the work that we've done together at Entree Architect, I've learned over the years that when you find something that interests you, you dive all the way in. Right. So, yeah. So it was, and it still is, I'm sure, you know, all of the different online tools for productivity and production. And then as AI became more prevalent in our profession and in our world, much of those tools became AI based. And so you're not just using ChatGPT, right? You are diving deep into all the different tools and all the different options around AI and how AI works. And so when people come to you, when an architect asks me about AI, I point them to you because you've done the research of what's out there, what's available, not only for the design side, but also for the business side. Can you talk a little bit about your overall dive into AI to give us some foundation for our conversation?
Yeah, I mean, you know, so as you mentioned, the running joke used to be that my immediate response anytime somebody has, you know, kind of an issue or something that they're struggling with, I have an app for that, right?
And exactly.
So I've been a long time, I don't know, I'm always fascinated by new technology and new ways of thinking about how to solve problems. And this is something that I go back even to, you know, the early days of, you know, when I first started working with computers and in college even, you know, everybody else was using what, I guess it was PageMaker or Adobe Illustrator back then. And, you know, I was finding programs that people hadn't even heard of. Like there used to be a company called Letraset. I don't know if they're still around anymore. They had actually a competing tool to Adobe Photoshop. You know, they had it out before Photoshop ever came out. In fact, it was called Color Studio. And it was basically the same tool, but it was, I guess Letraset just didn't see a lot of money in that for some reason. And Adobe was able to occupy that space way before. I had Photoshop when it was in beta. You know, there was a lot of people who were producing plugins and other add-ons for Photoshop. I was constantly looking at these different tools. And so I've always been interested in how can we do something differently? What can technology enable for us? And I think that that's just, has been a really huge foundation in my exploration of AI. To be honest, I don't use ChatGPT very often. I use it a little bit for certain things. Like if I want to compare products or if I want to get a sense of, you know, like if there's a question that I'm asking that, you know, it's just a pretty simple question, I usually ask ChatGPT, but it's not my daily driver. Not at all. I much prefer using Claude because I do a lot of content. And so I'm writing a lot and Claude's just way better when it comes to writing. But there's a slew of other tools that I'm using. I use Gamma for creating visual presentations and PDFs. I use Notebook LM, great tool. I have different notebooks in Notebook LM, one for all my blog articles. So if I'm trying to answer a question or if I'm thinking through an idea and I want to reference, you know, that knowledge base, I can go in there and just talk to the AI about that content. I'm a StoryBrand coach. So I have all of Donald Miller, he's the author of StoryBrand. I have all of his YouTube videos on StoryBrand in a Notebook LM, and I can reference those anytime if I have a question or if I'm thinking through a new idea. It's just, you know, it's a great, great tool. Notebook LM.
Can you talk a little bit about Notebook LM and what it does? It's a Google tool.
It's a Google tool. It's free as long as you have a Gmail or, you know, a Google account, a basic Google account. If you have a Workspace account, then you get more bells and whistles. But essentially, what Notebook LM is it's a AI that is, you can use it with specific information. So you have what are called notebooks and you could create a notebook on a specific topic. So let's say you have read a number of business books that you really enjoy and you reference all the time. Well, if you had the PDFs of those business books, you could put them in a notebook in Notebook LM and you could search those books either individually or as a group to, you know, say, hey, what does XYZ book say about this topic? You know, let's say you have a bunch of sales books and you're like, you know, what are some of the top sales strategies, you know? And it goes much deeper than that. But Notebook LM, it's not just a search tool. So there's the other cool side of it is that you can also take that information and have Notebook LM create audio like podcast conversations. So, and they're very, you know, we've used this. I've given you some examples.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
It sounds like two people talking. You really can't tell the difference. They also have the ability to create videos. So I would say they're not like, you know, action videos. They're more like slideshow videos, but they're quite well done and quite well illustrated. There's different styles you can choose from. You can have it create infographics. This is a new thing that they're doing now. I just created an infographic that I posted in the EA community the other day, which the six sales personalities of architects, right? And it's a fantastic little graphic. Everybody I've shown it to is like, oh my God, that's so cool. And they didn't even realize it was AI, you know? So yeah, there's just a ton of ways that you can use Notebook LM. And, you know, one of the things that I've suggested to architects, for example, is like, you know, oh, you got a code reference manual, you know, put that in a Notebook LM. And the really key thing you have to remember about Notebook LM, I mean, you can definitely use it to go and do research on the web and things like that. But where I think its key strength is like you can put that code book in there and you can ask it specific questions. It's only going to give you answers based on that material. So it's not going to hallucinate. It's not going to make up stuff. It's going to give you direct answers based on the source material. And it's huge. It's just such a great tool. You know, beyond that, we're using things like N8N is a tool that somewhat similar to like Zapier or another tool called Make, where it's allowing you to create automation. So N kind of acts as your quarterback and you can have it go to different AIs and come back and with the answers and then have it take that information, send it to a different AI. So you can create these really elaborate or even very simple workflows to automate different parts of your work, your life, whatever it is you want. And I think that's the real power and probably what we're going to focus more of our discussion on today is how do we use AI in a really intelligent way to kind of capture back more of our time, you know?
Yeah. Do you have any reference or guides that people can access of the tools that you think are most useful for architects?
We have put out several guides. I did one for CRAN. I spoke at CRAN in September. And so we put together kind of a list of some of those tools, and I could certainly share that with you. I don't have the link off the top of my head, but...
Or you can put it somewhere on your side and we just send me a link to download it.
Yeah, we can figure out how to do that. I think I do have a place where people can download that. So I'll dig up that URL and we'll put it in the show notes. But yeah, there's a package of information that we have including prompts and other ideas as well. So
yeah, because we could spend 4 hours talking about each individual, which could be a great episode. But I want to talk about more generally AI and how architects are using AI, how they could be using AI. I think architects, you know, when AI first started to become, you know, more visible and obvious in the last 4 or 5 years, right? It's been around for decades, but, you know, in the last, when ChatGPT was announced, you know, it hit our world and everybody realized, oh, this is real and this is now part of our world. And at first, architects resisted it. They're like, ooh, that is scary. That is potentially going to take over our profession. And I don't want anything to do with that. We're going to try to bury that. And then I think in the last few years, architects have realized, oh, AI is a tool. It is here forever. It is now part of our world and our profession. And we better start using it to help our firms succeed. Why do you think architects struggle so much with AI and the adoption of AI?
Well, I think it comes down to our training. I was trained as a designer as well. And as designers, we're trained to be problem solvers. You know, that's our key strength, right? And I think part of the challenge with AI, there's a few, but I think one of them is that with AI, I think as problem solvers, we want to understand things very well. And AI is a little bit different. It's the kind of thing where you learn it by using it, not by studying it. It's not about trying to understand what AI is or how it's going to work. It's about understanding how to use it. You know, in that sense, it's more like learning to ride a bike than learning like structural engineering. And I think the hesitancy comes in the fact that, you know, as problem solvers, as designers, we also want to retain control.
Right. That was the first thought I had, is that architects want control.
Yeah, they want control. And it's hard to give up that control. So we're really hesitant, you know, to delegate stuff, right? Even simple stuff. Like, you know, if you're not going to delegate stuff to your associates, you're probably not a good candidate for delegating the AI either. And I think the other threat or hesitancy, and maybe we're getting past this now, but I think there's also been so much talk about AI and design automation that I think that really ruffles the feathers of designers. You know, it's nobody wants to be thought of as replaceable by a machine, right? But I think that's where we need to shift our focus a little bit. It's not about replacing you as a designer. It's the real opportunity is about all the busy business work we do, right? Responding to proposals. Architects deal with like RFIs, you know, there's meeting notes, there's client communication. Automate that stuff so you have more time for the design. I think that's where we really need to kind of shift our mindset. It's not about, there's a lot of people online that are talking about how to use AI in design, and that's fine. I have nothing against that if that's where you want to apply it. But don't apply it to replace you. Apply it to maximize what you're able to do. Apply it to make the time that you have that much more valuable and efficient and effective. I think that's a key thing that we need to focus on.
Yeah, I agree. You work with a lot of architects for marketing and branding, and now you're consulting with AI, helping integrate AI into architecture firms, but you've also applied AI and have worked with AI at your own firm, at Arcmark, and I've seen some really significant improvements in your business. Do you want to talk a little bit about your specific use of AI and how you've impacted the business side of Arcmark?
Yeah, so the headline here is that we've increased our profitability year over year by 174%.
That's a serious number.
From 24 to 25. We also reduced our headcount by one person. We're not a big team, but we had a team member that we just didn't feel was interested in really going all in on AI. And so after some discussions, we realized that that person just wasn't a great fit for us anymore. And so we had to make a hard decision about that. But yeah, integrating AI into our business, especially over the last year, has been a key focus for us. And I guess some of the ways that we've, you know, if I can give some examples, I think some of the ways that we've been able to utilize AI most effectively, number one, has been in our marketing. So all of our marketing, we're using AI throughout our marketing process. So for us, most of our marketing is organic. We're developing content like blog articles. We're going on podcasts like this and that sort of thing, or doing presentations and webinars and speaking engagements. AI is fundamental in the creation of all of that and has reduced the time that we spend on those activities significantly. I would say probably has reduced the amount of time we need to spend on those things by 25%. Number one, in helping us ideate and come up with really good ideas. Number two, in, I guess, iterating those ideas to get to a more refined version of what we want. Then, you know, especially like with webinars and presentations, using tools like Gamma to help us create those presentations and make them look good. I used to spend, Mark, I can tell you, you know, for a typical webinar, I would spend probably a week working on a slide presentation.
I can attest to that.
You know, and you go through a lot of different cycles when you're doing that. I used to be the person that would just build the slide. You know, I would just start building the slide and writing everything and writing my notes and doing all that simultaneously. Now I have a much more structured process where I actually validate the idea. Then I do the outline. I review that. I change it. Then I go back and then, you know, I don't even create the slides until the very end because it only takes me 5 minutes with Gamma. It's like, you know, then I'm just doing some fine tuning and okay, I've done a webinar in a day where it used to, you know, just the slides alone would take me a full week, right? Yeah. And we're not even counting all the other stuff. Meeting notes, that's a huge one. We've been using AI-powered meeting note taker for several years now, but what has transformed in the last year is that we now are able to hook that up to other AIs. And so when we take meeting notes, it records everything, it transcribes everything, and then it kicks it out to our project management tool and it puts in recommended tasks, deadlines, and next steps from that conversation into our project planning. So, you know, that saves like a couple of hours every time we
do. What project planner are you using?
Well, we use ClickUp for our project management, and the note taker we use is called MeetGeek. MeetGeek.ai, great platform. I have a feeling though that a lot of these note taker apps like Otter and MeetGeek, their days are numbered because I know already that ClickUp's going to integrate meeting note taking into their platform as well.
Yeah, I think there will be lots of consolidation over the next few years.
Yeah, there is.
In AI.
Yeah. Oh, another great tool, just to mention it because I'm just getting so much value out of it, is Lovable. Lovable is a development app, AI-powered development app. Basically can write a landing page or a online app in minutes. It's phenomenal.
When you say development, you mean code development?
Yeah. Yeah. Like it's coding everything. It's the tool that I developed for the academy. We have a tool, an assessment tool. It's called bizhealth.arcmark.co. Anybody on this call can go and check it out. You can assess your health, business health at bizhealth.arcmark.co. That tool was built in Lovable. And so it's an assessment tool. And I had the AI create that tool for me, help me work out all the questions, help me create the PDF generation tool that creates the PDF report at the end, helps me gather all the information from people taking the assessment. I even did the design. I asked it to design the homepage, the landing page. And at first it kind of gave me this boring, bland version of whatever. And I was like, you know, I don't like this. I said, I'm a big fan of David Carson. He was a well-known graphic designer back in the 80s. And Paula Scher, she's also well-known. I said, can you do like a mashup of David Carson and Paula Scher design? And it it actually came up with a pretty cool layout. So
yeah, like it looks really good. For anybody who didn't catch it, it's BizHealth, so B-I-Z Health, one word, .arcmark.co, and you can go do a full business. That's a business assessment that is integrated into our business school that we've launched, Entree Architect Academy. But anybody can access that tool.
Yeah, and you get a kind of a, it helps you self-assess like where you are in terms of your business health and your architecture firm.
Let's take a quick break to say thank you to our sponsors for their support of this episode. Gain lessons learned and credits earned with Arcademy, ArcCAT's continuing education program. Listen to popular episodes of the detailed podcast and earn AIA-approved HSW credits. Yes, you heard that right, HSW credits for episodes of detailed podcast. Listen to an episode, check out the learning objectives, and use what you've learned while listening to take the course. The program is free, it's simple, and can be found at arcat.com under the resources tab, or just go to arcat.com/arcademy. That's arcat.com/arcademy. That's arcat.com/arcademy. Please visit our sponsors today and thank them. Thank them for supporting you, the Entree Architect community. You know, I think a lot of the pushback today, you know, I said earlier that AI pushback is the fear, but today I think the pushback is more about time,
yeah,
which is a big problem for architects. I think that that's the answer or the response to many of the things that we need and should be doing. You know, the universal response, we're too busy, right? We're too busy to learn AI.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that and how should architects reframe that concept?
Well, if you're saying you're too busy, that's exactly why you need to learn it. You're too busy because you're doing everything manually. It's like saying I'm too busy chopping down trees to be able to sharpen my axe, right? And so, and I think this is where people kind of get overloaded. They're like, oh my God, AI, I got to learn this whole new thing. And, you know, when am I going to have time to do that? Well, let's not think of it like that. Let's think of it like, what's one task that you, you know, like, you know, not a complete business transformation, but one thing that you could do weekly, not that you could do, but one thing that you do weekly that you actually hate doing, right? Just start with that one thing. If you did that, you know, we have a great framework. We call it TEACH, right? It's about, there's five elements to it. First of all, and this is how you define whether a task is good for AI, right? First of all, you have to have clarity about what the task is. Like, you know, could you explain it to a five-year-old, basically? That's, or is it something that you clearly understand? Like, you know all the steps, you know the clear process, right? Second, is your expertise actually required to do it? If it's a no, then it's probably a good option for AI because, you know, it doesn't need you. It can do this on, you know, without you. You can teach it, right? Articulation. Can you explain it in under 10 minutes, right? Like if you had a summer intern and, you know, you wanted them to do this task, could you explain it to them in about 10 minutes? Consistency. Is it repeatable? Is there a routine? Is it something that follows the same steps every time? And then is it high frequency? Is it something that you do pretty often, right? If it checks those boxes, automated. Don't worry about all the things, you know, that you could do. Start with the things that you really don't like doing, that you know how to do well, and that you could teach the AI to do for you. I think meeting notes is a great example. You know, everyone records meeting notes now, but take it a step further. Have AI actually create the tasks in your project management system like we do. This is easy to do nowadays with all the ways that we can connect AI and different tools. That's a great way to, you know, if you can do that, if you can find these tasks, it's a great way to gain confidence quickly. You know, you don't want to aim for perfection. I want to make that clear. This is something that I think a lot of people are like, well, it's not perfect. Get it to where it's working 80 to 90%. Like if it's saving you 80 to 90% of effort and time, then that's a pretty good win. If you have to take it to 10% to completion, that's still a big win. So yeah, going back to that intern analogy, you know, you're training it. you're helping it iterate and improve over time. Eventually, you probably can get to that 100%, but don't go in it with that expectation. Aim for 80 to 90 and then work with it again and again, just like you would develop a design. You know, you're going to go through iterations. You're going to perfect this process. You're going to improve it over time.
Yeah, I love that step-by-step, small wins, right? That's how you really achieve any great big goal, is to just chip away at it little by little.
Yeah, 1% every day. And
if you set these massive goals and you try to accomplish things that are way beyond your capacity, you won't, right? You'll never do it. But there's also an opportunity for firms to fully integrate AI into their business and save lots of time and potentially lots of money. That's one of the things that you do with firms, is that you work with firms to help them fully integrate AI into what they're doing. Could you talk a little bit about how implementation of AI in architecture firms can really transform the way architecture firms work?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of different ways that firms can really gain a competitive advantage using AI. You know, we've all heard the same problems. You know, there's things like pipeline unpredictability. You know, we don't know where the next month's revenue is coming from. I think AI can help create systematic content marketing, help with consistent outreach, automated follow-ups. That's a key thing, following up. I hear from so many architects, oh, we sent a proposal, never heard anything back. Oh, did you follow up? Did you, you know, chase them, you know? Never send your proposal, number one, but, you know, always present it, never send it. But anyway, that's another soapbox for a different,
different episode.
Yeah. You know, positioning and messaging, this is really important. We've analyzed more than 10,000 architecture firm websites over the last 10 years. Most of those websites can't clearly answer basic questions like, do you do the work that I want to be, that your client wants to do? What are some examples of how you've done this before? Will I enjoy working with you? You know, AI can help extract your expertise, help you articulate your value. Things like proposals and RFI responses, you're answering the same questions over and over. These are perfect candidates for AI, right? You train the AI on how you answer those questions, you know, you free yourself from having to do that. You know, there's a lot of people out there, a lot of architects probably listening to this, just thinking, oh, it's just easier if I do it myself, right? But that's the actual trap, right? You know, believing that it's faster if you do it is always a key trap to productivity. And, you know, the AI doesn't really care. It doesn't have feelings. You're not going to offend it. It's easier to actually delegate to AI than to actually train a junior, to be honest, because it doesn't care. So, you know, I think a lot of us, you know, we know that we need to do things. We know we need to blog. We know that we need to post on LinkedIn. We know that we need to build authority. But when we think about that, all we think about is like, oh, it's just going to take me so much time. AI can help us do that stuff. I'm doing this, you know, I used to write, like, you know, I have my team, but I barely used to write an article a quarter. Now I'm writing like an article a week, if not more. I'm posting on LinkedIn a little bit more regularly than I used to. And all of that's because I'm able to use AI to make these processes more efficient, more effective, and just easier, more enjoyable, to be honest. I used to look at it as drudgery. Now I'm like, I hear somebody say something on LinkedIn post or on a YouTube video, and I could turn that into an article. I do it all the time now. So AI is huge in helping me do that. So yeah, I just think for firm leaders out there, you know, thinking about how do I use AI? Like I said, start with those things that you really don't like to do, or start with the things that are really bottlenecking your team. Look at those things. What are they? How can we break down those tasks? How can we look at them systematically and start implementing AI? Maybe not throughout the whole task, but at least at different clutch points, so that we're able to move through those things faster and more efficiently.
Yeah. A few episodes ago, so a few weeks ago, if you're listening to this when it releases, I spoke with David Jennings. And David Jennings is the creator of Systemology and author of the same book, the same title. And he was talking about hiring a systems champion, which is an awesome episode, talking about hiring somebody specifically their entire role, no other role, their role was to create systems for your business. So track everything that you're doing, follow you around, follow your team around and create systems for you. And that's their only job, right? And then I like the idea of, as you're talking, I'm thinking, well, you can hire the systems champion in your firm, have them start developing all these systems, and then work with somebody like Brian who can come in and say, well, that system should be AI, that system should be AI, and this is how you can do it, right? And help them implement those systems with AI.
Well, and you don't even know this, but this is what we're doing now for firms. So we just signed a new client that is all we're focusing on is AI implementation. So we're going to be doing that Systemology assessment with them. Basically, it's not based on David Jennings, but it's what you just described. We're going to be working with them and their team. I think they're about 13 people. And we're going to be looking at all of these things I just talked about. What are the bottlenecks? Where's the friction in your daily lives? And then we have an AI implementation team. And so they are going to be taking all of that information and looking at like, what are the tools that we could help them create or workflows that we could implement to help alleviate a lot of that friction.
There you go. Arcmark.co. If you want to reach out to Brian, Brian@arcmark.co, Brian with a yo, Bryon. McCartney is his name. Brian@arcmark.co is his email if you're interested in reaching out to him about implementation. As we wrap up here, Brian, I have a couple of final questions before my normal final question. A couple of things I want to talk about in terms of the future of AI. I love whenever I'm talking to somebody about AI, I love to pick their brain about what your vision is for the profession in terms of AI. What does the profession look like in, say, you don't even need to go out too far because the change is so rapid. Let's say 5 years or less, how does AI impact what we're doing as architects?
You know, that's a great question, Mark. And I always think about this and it's a question that constantly comes up. I can't say that I have a great answer because here's what I've seen. I think OpenAI released ChatGPT, 3 years ago now? And so much, at least from my point of view, maybe from some people listening to this, nothing's changed. But from my point of view, so much has changed as a result of that. We have a plethora of new platforms and tools. We have somebody's constantly coming up with a new way of doing things and a new way of improving things. I think looking 5 years out, I think we're going to see a lot more of this impacting just our daily lives in ways that I don't even think we imagine yet. There's going to be new devices. We're going to have new ways of communicating with AI. Like I often make this reference about, it's going to be like Star Trek. You're literally going to be in your home and say, hey, can you go find me the best deal on a Toyota Tacoma? And it's going to go, and the AI isn't going to go talk to people. It's going to go talk to other AI. So your car dealership is going to have an AI agent that is waiting for other AIs to call it. And then they're going to do the negotiation and they're going to do the deal making. And then it's going to come back to you and say, hey, I talked to the dealers in your area and here's the best deal I could find. And, things like that. Ordering on Amazon, find me the best camera for YouTube, whatever. It's like, and this is where a lot of people are going to freak out because there is going to be a loss of a little bit of a loss of control, right? So you're going to have to put some backstops in to be able to review the process, right? But at some point, yeah, I think we're going to start seeing what we call the agent to agent era, where we're going to be going about our daily lives and AI is going to be taking care of us in ways we haven't even imagined yet. There'll be a camera in your refrigerator and it'll know that you need some milk and eggs and, it's just going to order it for you because that's what it knows to do.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. I think the world is going to get better, and I'm an optimist. I have much confidence in the human species that we will keep it to be benevolent.
My hope is that most people see it as a benefit because of the time that they will be able to get back. And I think a lot of people are going to be like, what am I going to do with myself now? It's going to be like, you know, you'll have more time to go work out and you'll have more time to go be in nature and things like that.
Yeah. We are going to focus on the things that are more human.
Yeah.
That's going to be the future of business and our lives, is the human to human connection will become a top valued priority.
I think it will be more so than it ever has been before.
Yeah. And that's going to be the future of architecture too. The people who are good at connecting as a human to another human are going to thrive.
Yeah. I mean,
because they'll leverage the tools that AI brings to us and we will be able to do the things that AI can't do.
Right. Without a doubt. I mean, architecture is all about relationships. Any service business is. And I think anything that you can do to enable you to spend more time with your clients, enable you to have more dialogue and, you know, be able to talk to them in a more direct way. I think about architects who I've heard stories where the architect comes in and just immediately starts sketching with, you know, without really even talking to the client yet. You know, they just see something and, oh, here's my vision, you know, and it's like, no, we're going to be able to take more time and actually engage with people and understand them and listen to them better. I think that's something that a lot of people are going to have to adjust to as well.
Let's wrap up with our final question here. What's one thing a small firm architect can do today to build a better business for tomorrow?
Well, I think, you know, going back to what I said earlier, finding that one thing that you can start with, whether it's applying AI or whether it's just delegating a task to your team, if there's one thing you can get off your plate, start with that. Just my advice to architects is think about the calculation, right? If you're spending a couple of hours a week, let's say AI or your team is able to save you 5 hours a week and you charge $200 an hour, that's $4,000 a month in recovered capacity that you can put towards that client relationship, or you can put towards the design development, or, you know, iterating or doing site visits. There's so many other things you could do with that time. And so I think it's a pretty simple math equation, you know, just figure out what it is that will help you save that time each week and just keep going. Don't stop, you know, get it to a point where you don't have to be in the office 5 days or 7 days a week, some for some, you know, you don't have to give up your life to be an architect. I think that's ultimately what I hope for a lot of our clients and a lot of the people we talk to, is that they're able to live normal lives and have good, productive relationships outside of work. And work isn't the only thing they do or talk about.
His name is Brian McCartney, Brian with a Yo. Firm is Archmark, A-R-C-H-M-A-R-K. Archmark.co is the website. Go check it out. There's lots of resources there, all kinds of stuff for marketing and branding and now AI. So archmark.co. Brian, thank you. Thank you for the work that you do. Thank you for your dedication to our community and helping hundreds and thousands of architects live better lives, build better businesses, be more focused in what they're doing. You're having a huge impact in the world through our community, and I appreciate you for that. And thank you again for coming by here and sharing some more valuable knowledge at Entree Architect Podcast.
Thanks so much, Mark. As always, it's a great pleasure to be here, and I appreciate you giving your time to me. And yeah, just a pleasure. Thank you.
You're welcome. If you enjoyed this episode of Entree Architect Podcast, please share a link with a friend, because that's how we've continued to grow and serve thousands more small firm architects just like you. Thank you to our sponsors for this episode. Links to the sponsors and all the resources we discussed today, they are all available in the show notes for this episode at entrearchitect.com/podcast. Entree Architect is a proud member of the Gable Media Network. It's the multimedia network moving the architecture, engineering, and construction industries forward through the power of storytelling. You can earn AIA continuing education credits by listening to select episodes of this podcast and many others at gablemedia.com/members. And if you are a small firm architect, listen up. Join us today at Entre Architect Network. It's the worldwide community for entrepreneur architects. We've been around since 2012, and our basic level is now free to join. Yes, you can join Entre Architect Network for free. And that gives you access to valuable business resources and our global community of architects. And you can upgrade anytime for live coaching, AIA-approved training, and mastermind support. So visit entrearchitect.com to learn more and to get started. My name is Mark R. LePage. Thank you for listening to the Entre Architect podcast. Love, learn, share. Are you NCARB certified yet? Join the network of over 45,000 architects who have the NCARB certificate to expand your professional reach. By becoming NCARB certified, you are demonstrating that you've met the national standards for licensure, a qualification that can be an important factor for firms when hiring and promoting. Certificate holders have a streamlined path to apply for a reciprocal license in all 55 U.S. jurisdictions, as well as access to an extensive library of free continuing education courses. Learn more today at ncarb.org.